first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Pubcast Show number 130. Woo! It's a bit of a milestone, isn't it? In the sense that it's a nice round number.
Yeah. Round numbers.
I mean, we do it every 10 weeks. So.
It's nearly how many Ferguson managed by the end of this weekend? It'd be 1,500.
1,500, so we're almost a tenth of the way there. It is, of course.
It's for another 20 years.
Well, oh God, no, don't say that, Christ. It's the usual bunch, really. It's Mike, it's Jerome, it's Andy. We've not got Dan, so you won't have any clinking of ice.
No James Staples.
So we'll get a word in edgeways. It'll be lovely.
Stu.
He's in a great mood. Unlike, we'll start with the breaking news this morning.
Ooh. We're going straight to Naughty Boy.
Naughty Boy.
Well, I think it's a bit more than a naughty boy. Alleged very bad boy, Luke Remy, who is
innocent until proven guilty.
Innocent until proven guilty, but him, his brother and his friend have been arrested for rape.
Him and Andy's brother.
Yeah. Him, his brother and their friend. Apparently the story I've read so far is a girl went round to his house expecting it to just be him. Those two were there. She was offered a drink and
lost consciousness.
Now, obviously, a lot of these stories do float about in football. Kind of scuppers his hopes of getting a move in this summer, doesn't it?
How much did QPR pay for him?
8 million.
Well, that's just enough, isn't it?
Goes from bad to worse for QPR, doesn't it?
What do you get if you're convicted of rape? How many years is that?
Oh, it'll be a long time.
Probably a football contract, at least, won't
it? I would. It depending on the scenario, yeah, I mean...
Should be a lot longer than what they fucking
have. Yeah, it might. I would have said probably a minimum 5 years or so.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's a very interesting one.
What a bastard.
Yeah, but we don't know, innocent until proven guilty.
Actually, on that note, what happened on the case against Neville?
Oh, nothing's happened with that.
I think it's still with Bury Crown Court, presumably. I've not heard anything further on that, although Gary's still seemed the same, and Phil has as well, so can't really say anything on that.
But Neville, where's his future lie? Is he going to be at Everton or United
or
next season?
Somewhere else?
Well, maybe
you never
else.
Know.
He did, you reckon?
Well, no, where?
I would put money on the fact they'll be at United.
He said
he talked about United's a club that he's always wanted to go back to, and now he's got a chance to do so. You'll see him at United next
he
season.
He did say he wanted to continue his playing career though when he announced he was leaving Everton. But I can see the waitress ominously around. She's not going to come over and ask for food, is she?
She is.
Well, try.
We're not going to order anything though, so
no,
it's fine.
We're not.
But what's caught you this week in football? Move on. Oh no, we're okay. It's just there's no tables elsewhere, so we'll stay here. What a lovely lady.
Listeners, that was the waitress coming around asking if we wanted any food. We're solely on the Baileys today.
Yeah, and we've had a few. But it's been a bit of a mad week. Lots of excitement. FA Cup final.
Oh,
FA Cup final.
What a rollercoaster week for Wigan, but we start with the Cup final.
It's got to be performance of the week, isn't it?
I think, and they performed so much better than
Man City. Oh, yeah, they deserved the win.
It wasn't a smash and grab as it looked, but I think they deserved it.
I was actually getting the tube back through Wembley on Saturday night, and it was full of Wigan fans, and it was literally like a rollercoaster. It was rocking. It was singing, jumping about.
And do you know what? If you're a player for Wigan, and in 10 years' time, you're explaining to your son your footballing achievements, and you say, "Oh, in 2013, I avoided relegation, or in 2013, I won the FA Cup."
Yeah.
What's the one thing you want to say as a player or a manager for that?
Well, you look at some of the players that won it as well. I mean, on the bench, they had a couple of young lads who I think they had Fivey, the Scottish midfielder, who's played about three times. They had a young Spanish lad. They also had Angelo Enriquez, who's on loan from United, who
is now Mexican, yeah.
Chilean. But he's now won more FA Cups than Rooney, Ferdinand, Vidic, Evra, Carrick.
Has he really?
Yeah, because none of them have ever won the FA Cup. United last won it in 2004.
Shit, yeah.
And Ferdinand was suspended
that
season.
That's the one flip on Ferguson's recent times. He's not won the FA Cup.
The one thing he's never won was the Europa League or UEFA Cup.
Which I'm sure he'll not lose any sleep over, to be honest.
Well, yeah, I think he'll be okay, unless he pitches up at Tottenham next season to try and win it.
Yeah, or Chelsea when they don't qualify for the knockout stages next season.
Well, we'll have to see, and we'll go on to them in the Europa League later. But Wigan, then, to go from that ecstasy to last night with Arsenal,
you thought they was going to do it. So
yeah,
well, actually, at one all, Kone's chance. You know, it was when the game was tipping in their favour.
Yeah.
And then after that,
I would have liked them to win because it would have kept it alive, both the Champions League and relegation at the weekend. Whereas now it's only been the Champions League. But at the same time, as I said last week, do I have a massive amount of sympathy for a club that doesn't attract a dedicated fan base? It's hard, and we know the situation, but they have played some great football. They've had some great players in the last 8 years. Look at the likes of Baines, Valencia,
well.
Rodiega. Yeah, I mean,
Paul Jewell did a fantastic
job. First season. Steve Bruce really steadied them. Martinez. Steve Bruce did a great job. He got him in the top half.
Steve Bruce did really, really well. And also, if you look at the signings he made and the money which he bought players in for and then which they were sold for,
he did a great job there. Martinez has done a good job in keeping them up. And obviously, Chris Hutchins did a fantastic job in the about 8 games he was manager before getting sacked.
But also, what a great story for Foster, the lad who scored the goal. Because
Watson.
Knowledge is key. To be out with a broken leg for as long as he was, and then to win the FA Cup for a club which is obviously owned by a chairman who broke his leg in an FA Cup final.
As we've heard numerous times throughout the last 2 months.
That is an amazing story.
Have you ever
story?
Seen the Dave Whelan challenge?
No.
It was him going in to make the bad tackle.
Was it?
As much as anything,
and he killed his career.
I'd lose a bit of sympathy, but obviously you never want to see someone's career ended.
That is a lovely story, and obviously it's being talked about, but what a great story.
Yeah, it's fantastic, it really is. And wasn't the only excitement in a big cup-related game, because, Brentford-Doncaster was a bit of a one-off, wasn't it? You know, the late goal, the missed penalty.
Well, we thought it was.
Watford-Leicester.
Lightning has struck twice in the same season. Same referee as well, by the sounds of things.
Really?
I can't remember his name, but someone... I was told that it was the same referee by one of the lads who works in our office.
Yeah.
If that's true, then bloody hell.
It's quite ridiculous. I mean, you look at... I don't know if you've seen the Gillette Soccer Saturday coverage of it.
Oh, that was excellent.
Fantastic. And the radio, I think, Hertfordshire.
Yeah, who was the lad on Soccer Saturday who was doing it?
I can't remember. He wasn't a former player.
He's not, no.
He was just a journo. But he
I can't
went.
Remember his name. He was going mental.
He was so high pitched.
He didn't even know what to say. He's lost for words.
Brilliant.
It's absolutely fantastic.
I don't think it was as good as Paul Walsh, though. Paul Walsh was better than Brentford Doncaster game. But.
Well, it's now set up nicely for Palace versus Watford in the playoff final. Palace as well, great performance by them to go to Brighton.
Did you see Zaha's second goal?
Excellent.
Ronaldo-esque.
Very, very
and
good.
And a great header as well, and apparently he did nothing.
He did nothing throughout the game. He did pretty much nothing.
I have to say his movement was pretty good, though. He just wasn't being found.
But he's, when he had the ball, he didn't produce much apart from the two goals.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is key, obviously.
But
you've actually got now, you've got the playoff final with Ian Holloway. This is his third playoff final in 4 years. And we know that he's had success previously. And you've got Watford, managed by Zola, who is actually a very lucky man at Wembley. He's never tasted defeat as a player. He drew managing the under-21 Italy game against England, which was the first competitive match at Wembley. But he scored in finals and won medals. Should be interesting.
Thoughts on who'll go up then? Prediction?
I really want to say Crystal Palace because they're my real local team.
I actually really want Watford to go up.
But I think it will be Watford.
I'm torn because I live about 10 minutes outside of Watford, but at the same time, I don't want Harrow Town Centre to fill up every Saturday when I'm trying to do my shopping, which sounds ridiculous. But so I'm torn. I quite like Palace to come back up.
I would like Palace because they're 5 minutes from where my house. Yeah.
I haven't got anything against either team, to be honest. No. So I'll be happy seeing either of them go. Yeah.
I know obviously there's been some big managerial changes this week with James Beattie taking over at Accrington, Alan Wright taking over at Southport, and some Mancunian club.
Some ginger fellow, isn't he?
That guy. Well, we spoke about obviously the huge news of David Moyes last week before it was confirmed. I'm happy with it. I think he's the best man available for the job. Honestly, I do.
I do. He won't be given the time that Ferguson.
It's evolution, not revolution. No, he won't. But
I'm not much of a Ferguson fan person. Like personally, obviously he's got great achievements, but what he said on the pitch on Saturday.
Oh, there was a lump in my throat
when he said like. You've got to support the next manager. I thought that was absolutely like first class for real, real gen.
How fitting was it that whole game? That
the only way it could have been more fitting was if it was the third minute in stoppage time and it was Ole Gunnar Solskjaer scoring. It's the only it way.
Brilliant. One of his longest serving, you know, squad members.
Yeah,
scoring
not
a goal.
Scored for 5 years.
It's like fair.
In fact, the last goal I think was against Liverpool in 2007, and it was a very similar goal.
Yeah.
Took the ball down,
volleyed, half volley or something.
Yeah. In fact, I think that was not his last goal because I think he's scoring in Europe, but that's neither here nor there. But great finish by Fernand. And
you just knew it was coming, though. Yeah. I have to say, you just looked at Swansea, you thought they must be prepared for the fact there will be a goal in one of the last minutes of the game.
And thoughts on the whole Rooney debacle?
Well, he's apparently made a U-turn, hasn't he?
How many U-turns is he going to make? Yeah. He's going in circles at the moment.
Fool me once.
If I was a United fan, which I'm glad I'm not, I would definitely not be cheering him on.
No,
he's wearing a red shirt.
He got booed at the parade, apparently.
He did. And you could hear, actually, he got quite a good ovation when he went to get his medal, but you could hear a few boos in there as well.
You can't keep doing that.
No, I mean, do it once, and I wouldn't say he's necessarily been forgiven and forgotten.
A better contract, or
I think Ferguson.
He wants to play.
I think Ferguson summed it up perfectly. He himself said Rooney in top form would never have been taken off. You know, with 20 minutes to go here, 20 minutes to go there. You know, semi-finals of the quarter-finals of the Champions League against Madrid, would he have been on the bench? No. If he was in top form, he would have been starting. It's down to him to actually make sure he's in physical shape.
Well, Fergie's been a bit cheeky, hasn't he, outing it all. I think it's his one last salvo. Just one last bit of controversy. But, you know, Rooney, we've not forgiven or forgotten the last time he did this, but he's got back into the hearts of United fans by playing well. Scoring goals.
He's linked up very well with Van Persie. It's a great
point. How many goals has he scored this season?
He scored 16 this season, which isn't
bad for
him. Well, yeah, he's set up a lot of Van Persie's goals.
Last year
as well.
He scored 35, though. People forget that. He had a great season last season.
He was the main man last year.
That's the thing, and maybe as the main man, he doesn't want to play. But, you know, it's difficult, and I think now he's done it again. I understand he wants to play, but I don't think there's any way back for him with the United fans. Inevitably, if he stays 6 months down the line, people will be cheering him.
No player's ever been bigger than Man United. No. The only person that's ever been bigger than United has been Ferguson.
I don't even think Ferguson is. I think Ferguson understands that. He's the biggest, but he's not bigger than the club.
But he's made the important decisions for the club for a very, very long time. And when players get into the stage of their careers when they start thinking that they're more important than they are, he gets rid of them, doesn't he?
One last note on United at the weekend. Paul Scholes retiring again. A fantastic player, but
this is a guy who is literally one of the best footballers, probably the most gifted footballer of my generation, of watching football, an English player. How modest is he?
He can't even do an interview.
He never was so embarrassed on the pitch, didn't he?
I mean, there you go. There's the classic example. You compare him to Wayne Rooney.
And when he got substituted, he literally sprinted off.
Every other player.
That's the fastest I've ever seen him run.
There was an interview before the game, I don't know if anyone saw it, and he's with Gary Neville, and he said he couldn't have timed it better because Alex Ferguson is now retiring. All the limelight is off him and on Alex Ferguson, and that's perfect for him.
And now the pressure will just be on, as Cravat Nick's missus would say, Chris Miles to deliver. which I'd forgotten about that until I spoke to him in the week. Also, we were having a bit of a chat, and we were talking about some of the worst players to play for United under Ferguson. And I don't know if you remember Russell Beardsmore in the early 90s, played for a couple of seasons, very big teeth. Or as Nick described him, he could eat an apple through a tennis racket, which I thought was quite nice. But
going back,
the Mancunian club I was originally talking about were the noisy neighbours. Mancini, harshly treated or fair enough?
I think harshly treated, to be perfectly honest. He should, by rights, have won the FA Cup final, yeah. But let's not forget that he won the league last year. Nah.
Yeah.
I mean, Man City are very, very quickly turning into Chelsea in terms of if this is the way they're going to treat managers who assemble decent enough squads to win a Premiership and then finish second in the next season. I know they've not done as well as they should have done.
They're
in
not
the
guaranteed
Champions
second
League.
Yet, actually. I think Chelsea, if they lose, Chelsea win.
That's very true, Mike. But at the end of the day, I think the biggest letdown for the Man City board is not finishing second in the Premiership. It's not qualifying for the knockout phase of the Champions League. And that's what's going to haunt him.
They got humiliated in the Champions League.
And his record, he's never got past the last eight, has he, in the Champions League?
No, he's not got a great record in Europe.
By all accounts,
he was not popular at the club with the players, and the staff.
The stuff that he's done during the season, last season, just outing players like after games.
Read Ollie
Holt. That's just not... You shouldn't do that as a
agreed, and he spent far too much time trying to look after Mario Balotelli, right or wrong. But if you read Ollie Holt's article in the Mirror today, he quite rightly put, no one's been complaining about Mancini being someone who's got an ego, who might not be approachable, who might have a certain way with people around the club. No one's complained about that until now. At the end of the day, the City board need to actually go out publicly and say, right, we've sacked him for footballing reasons. Let's not fucking go out there and start saying, well, he wasn't very nice to the tea lady whenever he made a cup of tea for the squad.
Bastard.
At the end of the day, Alex Ferguson has never been a nice bloke when it comes down to football, has he? Let's be honest.
But the difference is Alex Ferguson looked after everyone at United.
He looked after his team.
Even the staff, you hear about stories of the staff getting on with him and him being friendly and talking to the girls.
The managers aren't in the game to make friends with people, are they?
But it's all part and parcel of the job.
There's a time to lambast the player in private.
But it's not.
You can't do that publicly after a game. It's just so wrong to do that. You go back in the dressing room and you get looked at like you've just outed me in front of everyone.
If you're Sami Nasri or Gareth Barry or one of these players who he's criticised throughout the season.
Sami Nasri, Carlos Tevez, Sergio Aguero, all of these people, you're assembling a squad of mercenaries, and that's why that treatment won't work with that squad of players.
I think that's been the difference.
United have always had a decent balance between
I think it's been the difference with United and Chelsea as well down the last 10 years or so. Chelsea have had dedicated club men like Lampard and Terry, and they have got better at ingratiating people like Peter Cech, who's been there long term, and Ashley Cole.
But what United have always been able to do
is make players they've bought in love the club. Like, you look at Cristiano Ronaldo, absolutely love the club. You look at the likes of Dwight York and Yap Stam.
That's probably coming down from the manager.
Exactly, it's coming down from the manager on how to treat these players.
These players were important to, like, Cristiano Ronaldo is important. He gets looked after.
He has a bad performance, even at Liverpool, I would say.
If I was a City fan, and let's not forget, the City fans love Mancini. No one wanted to, or very few of the City fans actually wanted to see Mancini gone. If you're a City fan, you wanted him there for another season and you'd give him another chance. I think with Mancini going, there is now going to be a massive wholesale clear out, isn't there? Apparently Aguero's come out and said that he wants to leave. Tevez is looking at options. Aguero's come out and said that he wants to leave. Tevez is being linked with Monaco.
Tevez being a prick as always. That'll get him closer to Argentina, won't it?
Dzeko's being talked about, being offered to here, there and everywhere. You've got people like Lescott and Toure who are probably on the end of their career at City. There's a lot of players that are going to be leaving. Yeah. Nasri's been made unhappy.
And when we were talking about it after last week's show, I'm not sure how many players there are out there in the market that will be available for City to bring in.
I think Falcao's a very, very...
But Falcao apparently was in Monaco at the weekend to sign for them.
Absolutely.
For Monaco,
are being linked with Aguero, Tevez, Falcao.
They've got a big backer in Monaco, there's no tax. So if you're playing in Monaco, you get and they're trying to close the loophole, but you get the benefit of playing in the French league without having to pay tax. And it's something like, we're talking to a friend about it, to play for Monaco, they only need to pay you $7 million a year, and the equivalent to play for Paris Saint-Germain, you need to be paid $35 million because of all the tax and the tax that Hollande has brought in France. They're going to be an interesting one to watch. But yeah, I don't think there's that many people out there. I mean, you might have people like, say I could see Real Madrid going after Aguero, then maybe you've got Benzema, Higuain, someone like that.
Gareth Bale is essentially one game away from being, a transfer target for literally anyone with the money of Man City.
And then it's where Gareth Bale wants to go. I personally think if he's staying in England, he's better off going to United.
I think he'll go there, and it's a club he can flourish at.
The only club in England that he could go to that could afford him, Man United would be the best club, because you've only got Chelsea and Man City, and they've probably ruined a lot of British players in their time.
And I would say if he's going abroad, you look to Real Madrid or
Paris Saint-Germain,
I don't know, potentially Paris Saint-Germain, potentially Barcelona if there is room for him in that side. So
we're talking about players which are essentially big money buys this summer.
Yeah, I don't...
What about Cavani? So, I mean, for one, I cannot believe that people are talking about 50 million for a player like him.
Yeah.
I think he's a good player, no doubt about it. 50 million, are you mad? I mean, it's 52 or something, isn't it, this release clause? Absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, even Zlatan Ibrahimovic has come out and said he's staying at PSG.
He's actually said that he's going to stay, yeah.
So it'll be very, very...
interesting. But then, there's talk of Neymar being available, although he said that he'll stay in Brazil until after the World Cup.
Although his dad's now saying he thinks he should move to Europe, but then Spain looks like the option there.
It's the obvious option for Neymar.
If I was his advisor, I would tell him to go to Spain. You get kicked all over the shop.
Well, he's actually quite good at looking after himself, but that's in Brazil. If he comes over here and it's the old cliche of Stoke on a wet Tuesday.
Well, look, how did Robinho do when he moved to City?
Exactly.
There you go.
And a lot of these players do move to Europe and struggle. Look at Javier Saviola. He bounced around for years. Pablo Aimar was tipped to be the next big thing. He was great on Championship Manager 2001 2002. I built my United team around him.
Let's talk about players in the Premiership who are potentially looking to move. Leighton Baines.
Luke Remy.
Fellaini's another one that's up for grabs.
I saw a picture just before.
Talk about Christian Benteke. Sorry, I know you're not going to want to hear that, Jerome, but there's going to be a lot of people in the market for him.
These are all big players.
But are the potential? That's the word there. Potential. They're not proven.
It doesn't matter. All right, go and spend $50 million on Torres, who was a world class.
Exactly,
striker.
It can go wrong.
So potentially he was a terrible transfer.
But I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, of the big players that could be available as marquee signings for City to raise them to that next level, someone like Benteke, great potential.
Benteke would be a much better signing than someone like Cavani.
But is he? You never know. It's a risk. That's what I'm saying. It's a big risk to buy someone who's had one.
Benteke's going to cost $15 million, and Cavani's going to cost $50 million.
I'm not saying you should buy Cavani. I've never said that. There is no true international stars out there.
I'm personally of the opinion that if you've got a player who's already done well in the Premiership, they're more likely to do well at another Premiership than someone who's only used to play in Serie A.
But then they can also fail. Look at Papi Cisse second season, or Jelovic, or Torres eventually.
Papi Cisse's not had a terrible season.
He's not a good one. He scored 7 goals, I think. It's not a very good one.
Second season is always a test. Some players step up to level, some people completely drop off.
I've got another one for you.
I think with Benteke's style of play, I think he would protect. I think he would do well.
He doesn't seem like a player who's going to be found out because what he does is so obvious.
Yeah. It's so obvious. He's so big and so strong.
Yeah.
That I don't think a lot of defenders can deal with him.
Very true. Like,
so I feel he will potentially still have a good season and continue to grow. But there are other players like Torres, or maybe if Cavani came over and had a good first season, second season might be difficult because people will find him out and managers will find him out because he's not a big physical guy. He's quite technical. Tactics could.
Do you guys? How do you guys sit on the fence in terms of Aguero? Has he had a decent season this year?
No. Yeah, he's. I think
he's had a fantastic season.
He's had a lot of injuries. But when he's played, he's scored and he scored important goals.
I'm of the opinion he's done very well.
Yeah, I think he's here next season and he's.
I think fair, he's off. Yeah, this
he's summer. Tailor I made for Real Madrid.
I think he's off this year. Another one. English, well, a player who's playing in the Premiership at the moment, Lukaku.
Yeah.
So, being on loan at West Brom, done very, very well.
I think he said he wants to stay because he's got. There's Torres there, there's Paul there, and obviously they're going to probably get either Cavani or Rooney.
I think
he wants to stay because when he's there, when he was there, when Di Matteo was there, he never got a chance. He never got a look in. So
on Chelsea, we've got Benfica tonight. That's going to be a great.
Great suggestion from Tim Bevan on Twitter. If Chelsea win, will John Terry run on the pitch in his kit again? Because he's out injured, isn't he?
You wouldn't put it past him. Apparently, he's going to lift the cup.
He's going to lift the cup with Lampard, whether he's going to be in full kit or not.
Whether they win or not, he's going to lift the cup, isn't he?
He's going to lift the cup with Benfica or Chelsea.
I wouldn't be surprised if Benfica win tonight.
Benfica, we spoke
about this a few times. Them and Porto both undefeated. We played each other at the weekend. And having been top for pretty much all season, Porto beat them 1-0 with a last-minute goal. So now Porto are still undefeated. Benfica lost once.
So it's four in first place.
What's the points difference?
I think there's 1 point between them now, with one game left. So in theory, if Porto draw and Benfica win, second place could still be undefeated. And first place could have a defeat and win the league.
That's amazing. So it'd be
very interesting. But Benfica are a fantastic team.
Come on, Benfica.
Really good side.
I think
people are going to be surprised tonight. To see how good they are.
Yeah,
I really hope they play well. A lot of people don't watch European football. They've got Pablo Aimar, actually.
And Nicholas Guyton, who's a very, very good player.
Yeah.
And then Chelsea are obviously going to have one eye on this weekend. They are obviously pretty much confirmed in the Champions League.
Unless it's something like 14 goals scored.
The interesting one is, if they draw, I think, 1-1, and Arsenal win 2-1, then they will have identical records.
So there could be a playoff.
The FA have said there will be a playoff.
Yeah, they said that, though.
Yeah,
apparently. Because obviously you would immediately assume head-to-head.
Yeah, but I'm not...
Chelsea have won them both head-to-head. I think they have.
They won at the Emirates earlier this season.
So I think Chelsea won the head-to-head.
There was something on Twitter, and I don't know what source it was, but someone had quoted... I think the Mirror said this morning.
So that'd be great at Wembley. It's like another cup final, isn't it?
What a game that'll be.
It's when they can fit it in at Wembley, though, because if you look over the next few weeks, I think...
You've got
the Champions League on the Saturday, then you've got the Championship playoff on the Monday, and then on the Wednesday.
Well, who's playing this Sunday,
Mike?
We've got that, but I'm talking about going forward. But then on the, I think on the Tuesday, you've got England-Ireland.
Just a quick one on England-Ireland. I bumped into Roy Hodgson going into Fat Boys restaurant, which is a Thai restaurant. Just over Richmond Bridge, it was last Friday.
Did he say anything about Rio?
Like an absolute dickhead. He was with his missus going into a restaurant.
Well, actually, on England Island, Rio Ferdinand's confirmed his international retirement this morning.
He has, yeah.
Will we see John Terry back in an England shirt?
I hope not.
There's no point.
Why go backwards? Must go forward.
Exactly.
I have to say.
And interestingly, actually, they announced the un- under 21 Euro squad yesterday. Jordan Henderson, a year after playing at the European Championships, now in the under 21 squad for that.
Actually, it's a very strong squad, though. I wish I'd had it in
is.
Front of me.
Colin
really
McManaman's been called off. Mr. Zahar's in there.
Yeah. No, it's a really good squad.
It's a ridiculous place to have it, Israel. Up. Yeah, that's what I just said that 10 seconds ago. Literally 10 seconds.
I was listening.
Hey, do us a favour, rewind the show, guys. 10 seconds back, just for the next half hour, and we'll keep talking about Colin McManaman. But yeah, Zahar's in there. Tom Ince is in there. But it's in Israel, which is ridiculous. But I understand.
Why is it ridiculous? Sorry.
Because A, the uncertain environment that you're in. I mean, there has been talk, there was the story of Rob Earnshaw's playing out there and his training ground being under shell fire and them having to go inside.
Oh, yeah,
obviously, it's very politically unstable.
Quite a few months ago, wasn't it?
I haven't heard of anything about Gaza.
It's not really Europe anyway. But
Well,
it's not. It's an Asian nation. It's in the Middle East. It should count as Asia. I understand that there are quite a few nations like Azerbaijan, Armenia, Kazakhstan who float around that side as well. But geographically, they're in Asia. I understand.
But they're in the European.
They're not in the European Union. They are in Eurovision at the weekend, which I will be watching because it's my favourite night of the week. Favourite night of the year.
They are in European playoff.
They play in Europe, yes, yeah, I understand that. What I'm saying is, geographically, they shouldn't be in Europe.
Let's not get all political.
Yeah, nothing to do with anything else. Just geographically, for me, they're an Asian nation.
Actually, going back to Chelsea quickly, Lampard's just come out, signed a new deal at Chelsea.
No, he hasn't.
Yeah?
Has he?
Lampard's
really?
Signed
when?
A new deal. Signing a 1-year extension to his
when?
Contract.
When was that?
Last night I heard that.
I've not heard that yet, and I've not seen it on
BBC. Well, let's check
BBC
it.
Anyway.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I think you are,
but
I thought Lampard had signed. I'm going to check it now.
Have a quick look into it now, because I've heard nothing of the
I've
sort,
heard nothing
but... Andy Frank's trying to get attention once again.
Oh, you heard it
Make
here
your
first.
Own stuff.
You heard it here first.
Knowledge is key, remember, Andy.
Knowledge
is key.
Yeah. Learn to describe
one
better.
One thing I want to pose a question on.
Go
is,
on.
Obviously, you've got these playoff championship and championship playoffs in particular, first and second leg. What do you think about the Premiership referees coming down to referee these games?
I think it's a bit harsh.
It's a bit harsh.
It's a bit of a Joe Hart costing
right.
Pantomillion.
Here you go. Yesterday, The Telegraph came out with an article about Frank Lampard. It's understood that he signed a new 1-year deal.
So it hasn't been announced yet. It's
no,
not
sorry, but it's understood
confirmed.
That he has signed a new 1-year deal. So,
to be
sorry.
Fair, I think that's fair.
Jose's first signing.
Signed him back.
Well, yeah. It's all being put in place before he goes back to the club. But,
well, exactly.
But that's good business, isn't it? Keeping him and Ashley Cole at the club instead of getting rid of him.
Yeah, I think keeping them, even if it's not a bit part.
Yeah, so I wasn't making it up, but it's not being confirmed.
No, so we'll see. Maybe we'll be discussing that next week on the show. Where next week, actually, I will point out, we're going to have a slightly different show because we're going to be taking part in the Match Pint Pub Quiz on Thursday night. Go to their website. I think there's still space available if you want to go. We're going to record our show beforehand, which will include the return of Shawnee Miller.
Yeah,
who will be giving us some opinions on Palace. And next week, we'll be doing... In fact, probably not next week.
A bit of a playoff roundup.
I think it'll be a roundup of that and the end of the season, but I think it'll be the week after. We will do our end of season roundup. Plus, we've had a lot of questions in from readers that we will do a show just dedicated to the questions they've given throughout the season.
That
may be a bit more general and not so much topical. One person I will say, we've let down Pete Starr this week because he wanted us to talk about Phil Bardsley for an entire hour. And we're not going to do that, but he did score a great goal.
We did mention Phil.
Did we mention Phil Bardsley?
Did we not?
I don't think we have, but we have now.
Yeah.
We've mentioned Colin McManaman, who's in the under 21 squad.
Oh, is he?
Have you heard that?
I've
yeah.
I heard that one.
Colin McManaman's
really?
Made it, so yeah, he
I didn't know that one.
Deserves his chance. If you refer to minute 30, you'll be able to hear that. Any?
I wanted to ask you something.
Go on. Yes, it is naturally brown.
Why is
my hair?
Why is Gus Poyet being linked with the Fulham job when Martin Jol's still?
Because Martin Jol's done a pretty rotten job there.
He's not done a great job. He's not.
Really?
I don't think he's.
Last year,
I don't think he's moved them on.
Well,
any
last
further.
Year, the Fulham fans hated him, but he got him to about 10th place. But then this season, with the squad he's assembled, with the likes of Berbatov, and he has spent a fair bit of money. He brought in Kieran Richardson, and he wasn't cheap. I think he has. he hasn't
did
taken
he sign
them
Brian
forward.
Ruiz the, he signed him as well, didn't he? He's been there 2 years now.
Yes, I think he did. I think he was one of his Brian Ruiz had a good season, but he's from Twente actually.
Oh really?
I've got something about Twente as well in a minute, and it's not related to Steve McLaren, but we'll go on to that. But yeah, I don't think he is. He's not really brought things forward, no. And the fact that they're now were embroiled in the relegation battle as recently as last weekend. At one point, I think throughout the day they were 17th,
yeah.
And you're thinking, why is that happening at Fulham?
Fair enough. But the other thing is that so obviously Brighton aren't going up this season. Gus Poyet has come out and said that basically he thinks he's taken the club as far as they can go, and that sort of signals that he's looking for a move somewhere.
Yeah.
And he's been linked with, well, obviously Fulham. Have Everton been linked
with
him as
well? I'm sure they will be. But yeah. I can see your note there. I really want Duncan Disorderly.
How amazing would that be?
Duncan Ferguson. How amazing. Headbutting linesman when he done get a decision.
I can't believe I saw him.
He's been at the club at the moment. He's been coaching at Everton. He's got an Everton tattoo. He is. He's like Jim Staples, the tattoo on the arm.
If he did go for an interview, he'd definitely convince Ken Wright to take him on as manager. He'd just threaten him.
Yeah, but me and my mate were actually discussing yesterday, Duncan Ferguson, we were looking at his Wikipedia page, and do you remember when some burglars broke into his house?
Yes.
And it's great the way it's worded, because it says, he managed to detain one of the burglars, and you think, oh, so he just kept him trapped. And it says, who subsequently spent 3 weeks in hospital. He's there beating the shit. And the other one fled the scene, but that is the last person whose house you want to break into.
Could you imagine Ferguson on the touchline at Everton?
Well, we've lost one volatile Ferguson, so now we'll get another one in.
I'd love to see Sunderland against Everton next season. I was thinking Ferguson.
Bring him just for that one game.
Who you'd love to be the fourth official, yeah. Wouldn't you?
If you can just now get Vinnie Jones managing Fulham or something, it'd be brilliant. Get Keno back as well.
Oh, yeah.
God, I'd love just a league managed by thugs. Tony Vidmar, he must be knocking around somewhere still.
Definitely.
Dave Whelan can take the job. He had his leg broken, don't you know? But yeah, going on 20, as I said, Mark van Bommel, Dutch legend, so to speak, or thug, depending on your opinion, played his last game before retiring for PSV at the weekend.
Oh, really?
And he lived up to the thug reputation by getting sent off 20 minutes before the end.
Done as it
for a nasty.
He did as it done.
And he went in for a typically awful challenge 20 minutes ago, sent off. I think he actually said, well, I guess it kind of sums up my career. brilliant, absolutely brilliant. I mean, I can't think of a better way for him to end his career.
He was a top player.
Yeah, great player. Didn't really do it at Barcelona, but did
still
it elsewhere.
Won a lot with Barcelona, didn't
he? Won a fair bit. Part of the Rijkaard team. But any more for any more?
Well, let's just make sure that everyone's focused on the big game on Sunday, and I'm not talking about the final Premiership game,
which will be quite exciting.
It is going to be very exciting.
Not as exciting as it could have been, but the Champions League.
1:30, Brentford against Yeovil at Wembley.
Fantastic.
So it goes up to the Championship, and that is going to be it's going to be a great game.
Well, we'll say good luck to both sides, but I know we've got a favour. Through one more, because I really do want to see Andy France disappointed. So come on, Yeovil,
come on the bees.
So yeah, we will have a full pitch side report from Andy France next week on that final day of the Premier League. Not as exciting as it could have been, but Champions League, Arsenal, Tottenham. Who do you think?
Arsenal.
Yeah, unfortunately Gareth Bale won't be at Tottenham next year. What a shame. Poor dad, can hear him clinking his ice already.
Newcastle
have been on the beach for 3 months. So
Pardew amazingly came out and said, I don't care if we lose 4-0 at the weekend.
And then he had to retract it. But he's another one who could go.
Boy, apparently, you know, he's been told his job.
He's not got a 20-year contract at Newcastle.
I think he's...
Was it not 8 years or something?
Yeah. 28. Well, let's hatch it.
Add two on the end of it.
But yeah, I mean, it's sort of exciting. Go on, one last thing.
Does this qualify as a naughty boy?
No.
Connor Wickham. Apparently he's a bit of a spice boy or something around Sunderland, according to manager Paolo Di Canio.
Yeah, so Paolo Di Canio said he'll give him a slap.
You kick up the arse as well.
What more do you expect?
Yeah, can he actually be able to... Also, I do have one last thing, and this is for the fans of Oxford United. Did anyone hear about this?
I went to watch Oxford early this season, so go on.
So the Kassam Stadium, it's only got three sides.
It does.
The other apparently side opens onto a cinema complex.
It does, yeah. It's like a little retail estate, so where I saw a massive fight.
What, well, during the game?
No, before the game.
Oh, this was the one where apparently a police horse was punched.
Police horse got punched, yeah.
So Oxford fans have won their bid to have the stadium listed as a community asset. Mm. So this is in case the club decide to sell it. It gives the fans the right to be able to buy it.
Oh, nice.
So apparently the application has been approved by Oxford City Council.
It's actually a fairly new stadium because they used to play at the Manor Ground, didn't they?
Yeah. So anyway, good news for Oxford fans trying to preserve their stadium.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, on that hearty note, we'll bid you adieu for the week.
Would you?
You know the normal score, email us, banter@footballpodcast.co.uk, facebook.com/thefootballpodcast, complaints@simonhead.
More complaints, please.
Who actually needs to sort our website, because our website isn't working properly.
Actually, have we actually had any complaints? Someone
could. We had the Rangers fan, but he emailed me. But yeah, our website isn't working properly, so that isn't being updated at the moment. I am trying to get it fixed, but we will be posting the shows via Audio Boo. They will be on iTunes, so don't worry about that.
Go on Twitter.
And yeah, follow us on Twitter @footballpubcast. Enjoy the rest of your week, and enjoy the big event this weekend.
Go on the bees!
Come on Eurovision.